achieve your life goals.
Yeah.
When you're young, there is this edge of disappointment.
I don't identify as a pastry chef. I still consider myself a pastry cook because of everything we just listed.
Oh, pastry cook, not baker?
No.
I'm just grateful. Like, I had a really incredible support system around me. I think that was, like, really crucial.
Yay.
Yay. Well, welcome to Kitchen Tape.
I'm supposed to introduce Rose.
Gassy? I'm Rose.
I thought we were introducing each other, but I'm Cassie.
I'm Rose. Today joining us is...
Hi, I'm Dara Yu. I'm an LA-based chef, culinary instructor, and food media personality. I guess that's kind of what we're going with.
A personality.
Personality is
Watch
right.
Out. Yeah. So many threats. Okay. Well, we're really excited to have you here. We know and love you. I've known you for a long time, so it's really lovely. And we just want to, like, dive right in. Cassie's going to ask you the first question, and we're so excited to talk to you.
All right, Dara. What was your first job in food?
Ooh.
Ooh. There's, like, multiple answers to this. Like, a legal answer and, like, kind of an illegal answer.
Oh, we love the legal answer. We are here for child labor. Yeah, yeah. Because that's really what it's about.
Yeah, I guess going back, so my kind of introduction into food in a more professional sense was I was on MasterChef Junior when I was 12. So I did that show and I ended up being runner-up on the show and going through that whole process. And that really sparked this, like, interest and joy just around food and being in a kitchen. It was the first time that I ever worked in a commercial kitchen doing that, like, on the show.
On the show. Okay.
On the show, yes. We took over Drago Centro for the, like, restaurant takeover challenge.
Oh, right, right.
And then
right.
I was like, wow, like, this is actually, even though Gordon Ramsay was, like, yelling and cursing at us, I was like, oh, I love this. Like, I want to do this again. So the kind of more illegal child labor answer was when I was about 13, I started working in restaurants. And, like, I would go, and luckily growing up in Los Angeles, there's so many incredible chefs here and restaurants that, like, really want to help mentor you. So I had some connections with people in restaurants and was able to go and stage. I did that for a few years. Technically, my first job was at the Gourmandise cooking school. I was 15 and I had, or I was 15 and a half, because I had to get, like, a special work permit from my school.
First legal job.
First legal job, first. Yes. First legal job where I had to, like, sign a...
Paperwork.
A paperwork and, yeah. And get a work permit for that. And yeah, I was a kitchen assistant, and that's how I met Rose.
It's true.
I was just a little 15-year-old menace.
She was the best.
And what were you doing there at that time?
I was a culinary instructor, and I taught a lot of the classes on baking, a lot of the kids' classes, and there was a really great crew of assistants at that time, and a lot of them were in high school, and they were just, like, really great. Yeah. Wonderful, detail-oriented, fun people. And Dara was my favorite. I'm going to say
it's okay.
It.
You don't have to say it because I'm here. Yeah, yeah, no, right?
Dara and I had a really good mind meld from the beginning. And anytime I wanted to add a, like, surprise element to the class because I felt like they could handle it or they were excited about something, Dara always seemed to know, like, what I needed, how to set it up.
Like fried pizza.
Yes!
Okay.
Yes!
Yeah, you're going to have to tell me all about fried pizza. I need to know every last detail
right now. So fried pizza is a traditional street food. And from my understanding, pizza was originally fried before it was baked. And you would fry little things of dough and then fill it with stuff and, like, kind of put it under, like, a hot fire, so not quite, like, in an oven, but melted on top. And we had some extra dough, and I looked at Dara and I was like, do you want to fry this? And
I think we had, like, some oil in a cast iron pot.
There was a donut class.
It was a donut class. It was like a copper pot of oil already going.
Already, like, there.
And I was like, yeah, we're doing this.
Yeah. And she just like grabbed all the things I needed immediately. It was like two sentences exchanged. And then we had all these fried pizzas and all the students were just like, oh my God, so why doesn't everyone serve this? I was like, honestly, I don't know, but quickly forget about it so I can put it in a book. Yeah, yeah.
And coming up, babe. Yeah.
Yeah, that was a great
But we
one.
Always had really a lot of fun together.
Yeah.
And yeah. It's kind of full circle because now I'm a culinary instructor there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but that was technically my first job. My first, like, bakery job, though, officially was at Dominic Ansel Bakery, Los Angeles, mm-hmm. when they opened here. So that right. was, like, I turned 16, legal. So that's, like, your legal age of working. And started working there.
Wow. You know, I'm very curious because there's this idea in LA of like that it's tricky to be like a child actor and then transition to an adult. And that's not really you, but there's a kind of a shade of that to you because yeah. you were basically a child chef star successfully trying, failing, wonderfully whatever, celebrating, whatever into an adult in that mm-hmm. realm. And I wonder what that has been like for you.
Yeah, it's been really interesting. It was definitely a unconventional start into it all. I mean, I'm so grateful for the opportunity. I think I'm only really now and maybe in the last 2-3 years like realizing the effects of doing something like that at such a young age. Mm. It definitely it puts a lot of pressure and expectation, and especially then when you like come into adulthood and the career pressures of having a certain level of public eye, but even not even the public, just like your family and friends who hold you to that pedestal.
Yeah.
Yeah, there is a little bit of that kind of pressure, but I think for me, it really hit me when it was like, because I had actually, okay, going back, like I had kind of stepped away from like media and like wanted to go more down the like just professional route and like yeah. I went to school. I was working in restaurants. I was planning to go more into hospitality management and wanted to go into like hotels. And so that was like my path. And like what brought me back into media was doing MasterChef again. But
again. Yeah. We doubled down on the pressure. And spoiler alert.
She won.
We won. And this time you were the youngest person.
Yeah, this time I was the youngest person and I was like the junior. I think I've just dealt with it since I was 12. So I've just, as much as I've tried to have like a traditional normal path, that's how my book is written.
Yeah. It seems like if you get known young, then you're held more accountable for your mistakes that are just growing up.
Yeah.
Because people kind of layer on their hopes and dreams onto you.
Yeah. I mean, luckily yes, the show, you know, we were the first show where, like, kids were cooking on TV. Mm-hmm. So we almost set that kind of, I don't want to say trend, but, like, now if you look at TV, like, there's always a young kids version of these cooking shows. And so, yeah, that definitely had some pressure. But, I mean, I'm just grateful, like, I had a really incredible support system around me. Mm. I think that was, like, really crucial. But I mean, it doesn't make, I think more the pressure came from like, I mean, myself, like internally, and then also my family.
Well, speaking about your support system, I know that you now, having done the show twice, are quite mm-hmm. close to Gordon Ramsay. And for most people, well, compared to others.
Yes. I will say my friends like joke because I call him Gordon and they're like, oh yeah, Gordon.
Right. And I think for most of the world, they think of him as this like really angry, like serious chef. And the reason I loved watching MasterChef Junior was because it seems like he's more himself and like supportive and like really excited. And the other thing is more of a persona he puts on. So give us the real deal.
You know, Gordon is probably the hardest working person I've ever met in mm-hmm. my life. This man, like, I joke that, like, there has to be clones of him because he is, like, in London and then in LA and then New York. So Gordon is extremely sincere and thoughtful. He will remember, like, when I went back onto MasterChef, like, in the auditions, I hadn't seen him since basically junior. So, like, it was, like, 8 years. And the first, like, conversation that I had with him again was we had, like, done our audition dishes and we were, like, presenting them. And he came over to us and, like, was just talking to us while we were cut. I don't remember exactly what it was, but he, like, brought up something from, like, juniors. From, like, when I was 12 years old. Like, something that he remembered. And I was like, wow, like, this man, like...
Here?
Yeah, like, he is so thoughtful and like, I mean, maybe it's just a producer in his ear, like feeding him things to say.
What a thoughtful producer. We have one of those ourselves. We have a very thoughtful producer. Producers make the world go round. To the producers.
But he may only have 30 seconds with you, but he will make the most of those 30 seconds. Wow. I always tell people, like, he has 5 kids of his own, 4 or 5. I think it's 5. That just makes you more human at the end of the day, too. But I will say, like, when you're in the kitchen with him, like, it definitely comes out. And the scary chef, like, the scary Gordon, he's putting his name on the line every time, like, people are cooking for him or under him. And also, you have to remember, it's like, a TV show.
Yeah. I do think that over the years, though, he has transitioned more from being, like, angry and yelling to doing the more, like, ugh. What a shame.
Yeah. Like, which is almost worse.
Crushing.
Well, you'll see, like, every judge has, like, Joe Bastianich just does this, like, stare at you or, like, into your soul.
I gotta say, one of my favorite moments of your season was when you had to make a pastry, mimic it, and you brought up the cake, and they asked you, what do you think is different? And you said, abso-fucking-lutely correctly, mine's a little nicer. Mine's a little better, or something to that effect.
Yeah, I think it was like, I think it's a little better than
but
the
But I remember hearing Joe, like, lean over and being like, she's all right, though.
I knew that challenge. I walked into the kitchen. I saw all the cakes and pastries, and I was like, it's my day. Because what most people don't know is, like, I had been at the Culinary Institute of America for baking and pastry, like, literally the two years prior to going back onto MasterChef. Cooking, like, savory was actually not my, like, strong suit going in.
Yeah.
So, I was very excited for that challenge.
So, Dara, kind of, like, thinking about, especially in food media, kind of the misconceptions that you come across, like, what about that would you want to clarify?
Misconceptions in food media. That's so interesting. I feel like the food media scene, like, environment has changed a lot over the last 5+ years. I think that, like, before and, like, when I came into it, there was this, like, narrative of TV chefs aren't real chefs. And I think what food media has done really well now is actually, like, highlighting and giving a platform to working chefs, that kind of narrative around actually, like, highlighting restaurants and chefs actually in the industry.
As opposed to just, like, home cooking recipes.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think that then Food Network noticed that and noticed the interest in the general public or viewership, like, actually wanting to understand what a chef is. So now you're seeing these chefs who are running and operating restaurants. There is such, like, a range of food media now. From people on TikTok doing food to publishing and, like, food writers and authors to working chefs in the industry to your people who do mukbang bangs or whatever and just, like, food reviewers and
mukbangs.
Do you not know what a mukbang is?
Okay, well, now you've embarrassed me on live radio. But yes,
you're doing one right now.
What's a mukbang?
I mean,
there's
like so many ways that a mukbang happens. But it's like someone who's just like eating copious amounts of food.
Yeah. You like sit down at a table, you like
with
order
all
like
of it.
The whole menu from McDonald's or whatever, and
then,
like,
you
eat everything.
Oh.
And you like do a taste test.
Yeah. Why is it called?
I don't know the history of it.
Oh, I am big fan of a bang bang.
But I don't know mukbang.
Yeah.
Can you have a mukbang mukbang? A mukbang bang
you
bang?
You want to order all of McDonald's and then all of Taco Bell?
No, what I want is a mukbang followed by a dessert storm followed by another bang.
It comes from Korea.
Which also is very interesting because, like, I feel like Asian streaming is such a huge thing now too.
Yeah,
like,
totally. I'm not
I
surprised.
Guess there's so many platforms for, like, food media now. Maybe a misconception is not everyone that is in food media is a chef.
Precisely.
Or is claiming to be a chef.
Yeah.
And I think one thing, like, people need to kind of be able to distinguish that. I, for a really long time, hated people calling me a chef.
Mm.
And I think that that comes from working in restaurants. I had this ideal of, like, what a chef was or is, and like the work that you have to like put in, the hours, the days, the years of work, literal blood, sweat, and tears, what you have to do and accomplish, the skills that you just have to like understand to even just be like get the title of chef. I feel like that has changed a lot even within the industry. Like now chef is a term of like respect and endearment almost, which can be argued, like the whole like bear thing, like that whole thing, like it's, you know, to me a chef is an educator. And yes, I'm 100%. Now I feel like I am in a position where I'm like, I might not be a chef in some people's mind in the traditional term, but I am in a position now where I am teaching people.
Totally.
And people are looking up to me in that way.
It's the same way as if you were a professor.
Exactly. Exactly. Like, I'm not claiming that I am, like, the best chef. And I'm you know, like, I think also what happened with the whole master chef, because it's, like, in the name. And it's, like, also, there is literally, like, in industry terms, a master chef. Like, that is something that, like a master baker, a master chef. It, so I've had to, like, do a lot of explaining in that sense. Because master chef, the whole premise of the show is home cooks. So I have had to do a little bit of explaining in that. But the misconception that everyone that is doing food media is, like, a chef. Is just, like, in my mind, not correct.
Yeah, I agree. Because you mentioned something earlier about how, like, people will see someone kind of cooking on TikTok or Instagram Reels or wherever. And from the, like, consumer perspective, from, like, the consumer part of things where you're, like, actively consuming all of this media and this content, you kind of just assume, like, oh, well, this person is making food, so they must be a chef. They must know what they're talking about. And I think, as someone who creates, like, food content and, like,
which your content is actually informative and,
like, do you identify as a chef, Cassie?
I do not.
Do you identify as a pastry chef?
I don't identify as a pastry chef. I still consider myself a pastry cook because of everything we just listed.
Pastry cook, not baker?
No. There's, like, a very fine line between, like, baker and pastry cook.
Do you think the baker includes bread?
A baker definitely includes bread, but like when because when people are thinking of like sweets baker, I like my first thought is something like very classic, like we're making cinnamon buns, we're making chocolate chip cookies, we're making scones, and like that does bleed into like what pastry is, but pastry is like, you know, some more refined techniques and like using different ingredients. And like, I feel like being a, like, Susie Cakes, you're a baker. Swirl, you're a pastry cook.
Interesting.
Magnolia Bakery, you're a baker. Justa, pastry cook.
That's such an interesting,
I think, like, it's very amorphous, though. Like, yeah. I feel like this could be defined differently depending what culture you're coming from. 100%. As well.
And also, like, the skill, different skill sets, like a chocolatier or someone who's doing sugar, like candies pulling work and like, they're not, you know, they might not consider themselves a baker. Like,
or
they
chef.
Or a chef. Yeah. They may even consider themselves a pastry artist. Like, I think it's very fluid and like, maybe that's where some of the misconceptions come up
too. How fluid,
I also like, think these terms that are. There is this sense that like, chef is the greatest thing you can be. So there's a devaluation, like, if you
I think a lot of people are like
okay, well, I'll call myself a chef even though I'm a baker, because baker doesn't sound
as like sexy.
It doesn't command that respect that chef does.
I think that like everyone is gonna have, who works in the industry is gonna have a different opinion. And I mean, there's so, I feel like the hospitality industry is one of the most, like, misunderstood in general. It's like, if you're a lawyer, you're a lawyer. Like, you go to law school. I'm saying, like, you, you have a law degree.
Tell me that. I would love to hear the perception from the outside.
But, or even, like, a doctor. Yeah. It's like, you go to school. There's this very kind of, like, set path of, like you go to school, cut and dry. And then it's like, you find a specialty. And it's like, oh, I'm a doctor, but, like, I specialize in orthopedics or general medicine or whatever, mm-hmm. or like even for lawyers, I'm an entertainment lawyer. And with chefs, it's like there is that like distinction between like pastry and maybe cuisine type. But there's also like a lot of fluidity between it.
Yeah. And there's so many ways to like get in the
world. I would say that I see more successful fluidity of pastry people going to savory than savory going to pastry. Yeah,
because pastry people can actually do both. Because
they're more hardcore. Because it's fucking metal.
I have a show idea of around that.
Like, tell us.
I know. I'm like
yeah. Off after the show.
No, but like, I think it would be so interesting to do like, and if there's a producer out there who wants to take this idea.
Oh yeah, we are always pitching, so go for it. Yeah.
But it would be like really interesting to have a cooking competition that was like pastry people versus savory.
And do a crossover.
Yeah.
Like where they
have challenges.
I love it.
I think that's the next project.
I actually used to do this like in an individual form at a restaurant I worked at. And it would be like me and the one, which is basically the one is protein. Right? Mm-hmm, they're the ones searing all the proteins for your main entree. And I was right next to them. And it would be a matter of like, if I could cook the perfect steak and you could plate the perfect meringue. And I cooked like 5 steaks perfectly. And then this motherfucker came and I had just seen him plate beautiful halibut tenderly. And he goes in for the meringue with his hand. And then as he approaches, it just turns into this claw. What? And then he gets there and it just crushes. And he crushed 8 before I was like, just back off. Like, you are going to fuck me for the entire night. You've lost. Admit defeat. Go away.
It would definitely be entertaining.
Oh, yeah. It would be very entertaining, for sure. Yeah. But I also think it's just a matter of confidence, and I think cooks are often told that their skills don't translate.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so they get that mindset, whereas pastry cooks are often like told they have nothing to offer and it's almost a challenge.
Mm.
And then we get those skills. Also, frankly, we have to feed ourselves. So there's that. So we've talked a lot about your time in food media. Mm-hmm. If you weren't doing this, what would you be doing? I recently heard Ice Spice say that she wishes she wasn't a musician and she was a CPA. So please tell us your really believable alternate career.
Hold on, I kind of love that. She said, this is way too much. I'd rather just be doing taxes.
But then actually showed up the next day for the Grammys. So yeah. I don't know that she's put out.
Okay, that's such an interesting question. I had this like big finale party for MasterChef finale, and I did like Q&A like throughout each commercial break, and someone did ask me like, what would you be doing if you like weren't on the show? And my answer at that, I don't know what my answer then, I said that I would like be doing something in like beauty or like hair. I don't know why I said that.
It just came out of
it
you.
It came out, and I was like, I said it in front of like 200 people.
Wow, so now they're going to hold you to
it. I know. But I've been, over the past year, I've been really rethinking the answer. I think I would be in acting. I think I would be acting. I grew up in LA. I grew up doing musical theater.
Yes!
I am a theater kid.
We are in a room of theater children.
Yeah, so I grew up doing like musical theater and like I dabbled in like some commercial acting, but like doesn't every cute little Asian girl living in LA do that? Yeah, I grew up and I even went to like, I went to a high school that like really focused, it was literally called like the School of Arts and Sciences, but then the arts was mostly, well, fine arts, but like performing had a huge arts. Emphasis on performing arts. And so, yeah, I grew up doing theater. I loved it. And like, I've been in a few of my friends' like short films, and I really do love acting. I think just the like the process of it, I really love. I don't know. I think I would love to do a theater show. It's something I've been thinking. I like am starting improv again, Woo! Which like is fun, and like trying to find hobbies outside of food.
Yes.
Well.
What's that like?
Yeah.
And you've also started working with brands too, right?
Yeah.
So you are kind of dabbling back in commercial work.
I am. Yeah. It's interesting. Well, it's fun. Yeah. I'm definitely like just trying to navigate like the food, a new food world for me, like what that looks like for me. But yeah, career-wise, if I wasn't in food, it probably would be acting.
Okay, so for some fun, you're going to apocla.
Never been. Wow. Can we get a definition of apocla?
You're going to a potluck. What are you going to bring?
Oh. Probably cookies. Yes. That's a go-to, as you did to my potluck.
What kind of cookies?
See, I always have like a freezer batch of like rye chocolate chunk cookies. So that is usually like I'll just, you know, very quickly preheat the oven, throw those in while I'm getting ready and like, or in a meeting or whatever. But if I like have time, sometimes I don't like bringing sweets. Like, it's expected from me. Mm-hmm. So sometimes I'm like, I'm gonna like a little surprise here. So then I'll do like a savory galette.
So far.
They're like, oh, but. Or like, there's this kale salad that I really love. It's like lentils and kale. And I just mix it up with, it has like almonds and feta. So.
Wow. Yeah. Sounds very filling and nourishing.
It's like, oh, it's my favorite salad. It's like a Bon Appetit recipe, but then I like zhuzh it up.
Okay. Oh,
the zhuzh. The Dara touch.
Yes, the zhuzh. Yeah.
Speaking of like a Dara touch, do you feel like you have a signature thing that you're like, this is Dara. This is a Dara dish.
It's really interesting. And like this, it kind of, I know this is probably like such a simple question that I'm going to like make more complicated as I do in all of my life things. But it's funny because I put a lot of pressure on myself. And there was also this, like, I felt like there was this external pressure of like, well, like, what food do you cook? And who are you as a chef? And, like, what do you, like, yeah, what is your thing? And, like, I've really, like, the past 2 years have been, like, figuring out, like, what that thing is for me. I did this pop-up in January. It was, like, congee and crullers. And I did three types of congee, which congee, congee is Chinese for rice. It's rice porridge, essentially. Mm-hmm. What was, I guess, very unique about them was congee was like this comfort dish for me that I grew up coming from my Chinese background, but then all of the different ones that I made were like very globally influenced by dishes that I like, my favorite dishes that I grew up eating growing up in LA. So I had like a Tom Kha congee, and it was like a coconut shrimp based congee, and then I did a pozole one. And so I did like a rojo pozole rojo, and it was like a pork broth that then I used that broth, the pozole broth, to make the congee. So it was very like, I think for me, like that is kind of my like thing is like, I mean, quick background, but like I Chinese American, Chinese on both sides, Cantonese on my dad's side, but like I was born and raised in Los Angeles. My mom was born in New Zealand and grew up in South Bend, Indiana. My dad was born in Hong Kong but grew up in Vancouver, Canada. Wow. So, like, my diaspora is, like, so all over the place that, like, all of those influences, I think, have just really – or all those places have really influenced my food vision. And – obviously, like, looking at me and like the food that I was cooking on the show and stuff, like, was Chinese or Asian, but the food that I enjoy cooking is not just Chinese, and it's very globally influenced. So I think that's my thing, but I also am like very much still trying to figure that out. And I've also been told that like that is something you're always going to be figuring out.
Yes. I think there's a lot of pressure on young people to have it figured out. Mm-hmm. And then you, in your 20s mostly.
There's also like,
and then you get to your 30s and then it's like, oh, it really doesn't fucking matter. Yeah. So I think it would be great if 20-year-olds could just like embrace that. And then ultimately you're going to have a more full life if you like try more things that you're just interested in instead of like sticking to what you know.
Yeah. No, it's very interesting. I mean, I think where I've been blessed and where, like, over the last 2 years that kind of changed my mind was I was going down this path that was very, like, traditional. And, like, I was going to go to school for hospitality. I was going to get an internship at, like, either, you know, restaurant group or hotel. Like, I would go into management. I would go in, like, event, whatever. And, like, it going back to do the show and then like the last 2 years of like kind of having the freedom to really explore like really what I want to do and not what I felt like I needed to do really opened up this like all these different paths within food for me to explore. And so, yeah, I mean, it's been fun. I'm learning.
Well, you've touched on some things that you sort of have started to do to kind of just have other outlets. But I'd love to know what you do for self-care and what that really means to you.
Yeah. It's funny. I'm so good at taking care of other people. I think as a food person, like it's acts of service and how we show our love language.
Absolutely.
And so it's very easy to take care of others when it's your work.
Yeah.
And outside of that.
But you're not people.
But yeah. No. But people.
None of us are.
None of us are actual people.
Yeah. Humans.
We're here
human
to serve.
Beings. Like. Yeah. You want a cake? Oh, by tomorrow? Of course.
See?
Of course.
I got you.
So we go into that upper octave.
Sure. But I actually really, like, the last year have really, like, realize how important self-care is for me, for my mental health, for my friends, for my family, like for everyone around me. Because if I'm a happier person, everyone in my life is happy. But yeah, okay, so now, I mean, therapy. Coming off of the show after filming MasterChef, I realized I was like, I'm gonna need therapy. Especially because I was like 20 and like had just gone through this huge experience and like,
so, I think people don't think about the fact that if you are really determined and a young person and you achieve your life goals when you're young, there is this edge of disappointment. Like, you feel like, what else can you do?
Yeah. I think it's that, it's like that question of like, what else can I do? But it's also the like, what am I doing?
Yeah.
And like, is it enough? And like, so yeah, I've been like, I mean, fighting that battle, but other than that, like, outside of the actual, like, internal work, I, like, working out is such, for me, is, like, it, there was a period of time this summer, where, like, I wasn't really working out consistently, and then I was, like, okay, I gotta get back into it, and, like, you, I just know how much better I feel in my body, in my mind, as a, like, as just a woman and a person, like,
are you a runner? Are you a yoga girl? Are you CrossFit?
Yeah, I go to like a gym that actually, it's like a class-based gym, but it's like weightlifting. I do like mat Pilates, yoga, and then like a circuit training one where you're like on a treadmill and stuff. So I also just love being in nature. So like hiking, I don't do it as not enough. I was actually just talking about it today. It was like, I need to be in nature more, but yeah, so I try to do that. And then also, I'm such like a people person. So I have realized, though, like in the last few months that like I am really valuing like alone time. I used to always be afraid to be alone of like, and I was always like, oh no, like I need to be with people. And but there's periods of time that I go through where I'm like, okay, like I'm going to recharge like by myself. And then sometimes there's periods of time where I'm like, oh no, I need to like be with friends. Even if it's just, like, sitting on a couch watching a movie or whatever.
Yeah.
So, yeah, friends, definitely friends. Eating out, like, which is still in food, but connecting with other... Also, connecting with people, like, outside of food, I found has been really beneficial to me.
What do you talk about? Because I'm just, like, I don't know how to talk to people outside of food.
You're a CPA?
I recently made like some friends who aren't in food, and it was very bewildering.
But also it's scary.
Fulfilling.
It's, I will say, like, majority of my friends, like, are in food, but then there's also this, like, entertainment world where I'm in, kind of in as well, so meeting people within that. I'm still figuring it out. Self-care is a hard thing.
Yeah. It's great to have friends outside of whatever your industry is, because I think often we get in knots and take things so seriously, and having an outside perspective, specifically a clueless one, I think is really helpful.
Yeah.
Like, it's really good for me whenever I'm getting too stressed out about like cherries and what to pair them with.
Yeah.
Someone to be like, oh, I just like cherries. I'm like, okay, great. Great. I've recentered myself. It's gonna be okay.
Yeah. No, I love talking to my friends who, like, are in sports and stuff, because I'm like, I know nothing. I'm like, I go to sports game for the food. So, like...
Oh, yeah, the garlic fries.
Yeah. I'm here for like garlic fries. Like, the hot dogs.
But I imagine it's also really rewarding for them, you know?
Yeah. To have to, like, explain to me while I'm, like, so what just happened? Super fulfilling.
In the moment.
Yeah, in the moment. No, I'm super fun to go to sports games. What about you guys?
Oh, yeah.
Next question. What was the question?
Self-care.
Webster's Dictionary defines self-care.
Okay, I take a lot of elaborate baths. I will light many candles. I will put milk or even tea bags in the bath. Mm-hmm. I'll put flowers. Like, any flower that's not making it on a cake, it's going to be in my bath that evening. Bubbles, music, a book. Like, I go real hard. Love like that. Marie Antoinette, Cleopatra on baths. I think that's as consistent as I've gotten. I think everything else is very... sporadic, you know, and I still struggle with thinking, like, if I'm taking this time for me, it's time away from being productive. So it's that real classic capitalist imposed battle, that if I am not giving, producing, then I am a detriment. It's not even that you're not, like, you're zero, you're almost negative.
Yeah.
And I think that's really a social message.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Also, we love We Spa. Sponsor us.
Love We Spa. Love We Spa. Love We Spa. Cassie's like, that's my answer.
There it is. I only kind of recently, in my ripe old age of 27, have like...
Ooh, ripe.
Kind of... I've only recently kind of understood what the difference between like self-soothing... and actual self-care is, because for the longest time I was just self-soothing and just doing things to like distract myself from the problems, which you would think is like self-care. Like, I shouldn't be thinking about all these super stressful things going on in my life, so why don't I drink like half a bottle of Jack Daniels? That's not self-care. But like when I was 21, I was like, this is me taking care of myself because I'm distracting
myself.
I'm having fun. I'm going out with my friends. I'm partying. I'm not thinking about my problems. So, like, therefore, this is care.
It's really a difference between being reactive and proactive.
And so now I don't drink anymore. So, yay. but so now I love being outside. I love going on walks just to, like, clear my mind and truly not think about anything. And I'm very, very big into music. I love listening to like all types of music, quite literally. Like, Gregorian chants are something I really, really
they're beautiful.
Love.
I haven't dabbled.
The only thing I don't like truly, country. I can't.
Oh, damn. I listen to country all day today.
Get behind it. Yeah, I was playing my own music. But so I like really love to like curate like a shit ton of just different playlists for different vibes, and then like go out in nature and just like put on my headphones and like listen and just like really disassociate in a healthy way.
Cassie listening to Gregorian chants in her chocolate beats, bro.
It's just like, I can't do a Gregorian chant, but like,
so good though.
They're so beautiful. But anyway, so I love doing that, like being out in nature, disconnecting from the world in like a meaningful way. I also love cleaning now. And like cleaning, not like I was just
I'm an anxious cleaner.
Living in a pigsty, but like there was a time where I'm like anxiously cleaning, but now I'm cleaning with like purpose. And
I haven't
like
gotten there yet.
Question: how do you tell the difference?
Yeah. Well, no, because there's like
I think of this as one of my positive mental health issues.
Well, there's like cleaning.
I'm anxious and I clean.
But like, you know, for me, it's like oh, hey, can I, like, come over and pick something up? And I'm like, yeah, you can come in 3 hours because that's how long it's going to take for me to, like, deep clean this place so you don't think I'm, like, a fucking rat woman, like, rotting in my apartment. So I'm, like, scrubbing shit down and I'm like, oh, my God, Casey's going to be here. I got to fucking, oh, my God, the rafters are dirty. Like, let me get up there.
I don't even have rafters.
I'm, like, taking the shit apart. I, like...
Everything under the bed.
Everything. I'm like throwing
in the closet.
I'm like, no one can see that. But like now I'm like, oh, like I'm done with cake orders for the day. Let me like scroll on TikTok for a little too long. But then like get up and be like, okay, let's like really tidy things up. And like it like structuring the space really helps to structure my mind. So yeah, like reclaim the cleaning. Is mine. So those are two that recently I'm like,
love that.
Really love. Thank you.
Before we head into our lightning round of questions that we ask all our guests, we'd love to know where, if you could go anywhere, money was no object, where would you go just to eat? You're not checking anything else out. You are just eating.
Oh. Yeah, your eyes are closed until you're at the restaurant. Yeah.
Just one plate. Wait. Like, just...
A country. Yeah. A country.
Yeah.
Yeah. We don't need to narrow it down to, like, a small village.
For me, right now, this is just going to be my answer. And hopefully... I'm saying this because I'm manifesting it.
Manifest.
All here. I've never been to China, and it's always been something for me that, like, as a Chinese American, I'm, like, wanting to, like, explore and, like, understand my heritage and the food that, because China is so vast, and I think that, like, being in America, the ideal of, like, Chinese food is very one tone, but I do like to bring up the fact that, yes, Panda Express was founded by Chinese people. A Chinese couple.
Listen, so. I think we like Panda Express.
I love Panda Express.
Panda, call us.
I get an orange chicken craving like once a month.
Yes.
But you had their Bing. Sorry.
Their what?
So Panda Express has things called innovation kitchens, which are kind of like their test kitchen. Yeah, where like they're the like Chick-fil-A ones. Kind of. But so it's like their test kitchen where they're doing things like a honey sesame chicken pot pie. And like they do this thing called a Bing, which is a scallion pancake.
Oh, yes.
With like orange chicken.
It's like the
chicken.
Ming Bing.
Yeah. With like, and they fill it essentially what you would get on like the platter or your bowl just in.
A scallion pancake.
In the scallion pancake.
Like a burrito situation?
Like a burrito. Yeah. Like rolled up like
a
burrito.
Wait, where are these innovation kitchens?
So the one I went to was out in like a little past Pasadena. I didn't like it because of like the ratio of chow mein to like 3 pieces of orange chicken. And when I posted it on my Instagram story, everyone was like, ew, that's gross. I would never do that. Why do you need to fusion everything? But I know for a fact, if I went to like some bougie like Chinese American and there was like a scallion pancake with like whatever, people would lose their minds over it.
Setting
not just people
really affects people,
especially the people who were telling me that it was gross from this fast food chain.
Yeah,
didn't you also say that it was more like a scallion bread than a pancake?
So I think it was because it's Panda Express and not, you know, like they're not making scallion pancakes there. It was like a tortilla, like a flour tortilla with scallions in it.
So interesting.
I was expecting like this crisp but fluffy
layered.
Like if it had
who does that? There is a place that does that. In New York, Bonnie's.
Oh fuck, I love Bonnie's.
Bonnie's does Bonnie's.
When we were in New York, yes.
Yes, they Bonnie's do. Is They do so like a scout. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, they really love it.
Oh, no,
it's
the bakery one.
Point.
It's the bakery one in Brooklyn. Winsome.
Yeah.
Winsome does.
Also, fire.
Both, yeah. Winsome does a scallion.
It's like a breakfast.
It's like a breakfast thing.
Situation.
Like breakfast you should go
burrito,
if you're in New York.
But it's actually a scallion.
But I would be interested to like have.
But I think that brings up a good point about like. Context where people are willing to pay a different amount based on like the information surrounding it, which I think also goes back to like our baker, chef, whatever else 100%. You identify as, because you can charge more if you have if you identify with that chef title, mm-hmm. than you can with really any of the other titles, with the exception of chocolatier, just because chocolate's fucking expensive. But still, it does. It's a hierarchy that affects more than just relational situations. Yeah.
Interesting. Well, I'll have to try that.
Yeah. Let me know what you... I fumbled the ball because I was like all chow mein.
Yeah, see, I don't know if I would have done like
two entrees, one like rice. I feel like
it's also a combination. I admire the carb on carb.
I just want some like beef and broccoli, some orange chicken.
Yeah. I think it's like egg rolls. A third the amount of chow mein because they put like a big portion of chow. So it was eating just a like chow mein burrito. So that was the more balanced.
Maybe. Well, that's the thing, like, when there's more choice.
Choice, yeah.
It's dealer's choice, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'd go to China.
Well, I'm really excited for you to go to China. I went...
Well, more specifically, Hong Kong.
Ooh. Because
that's where my dad was born.
Nice. So more you should travel everywhere.
Oh, no, 100%. I also really want to go to the north of China, where there's, like, a lot more, like, Middle Eastern influence on the food.
I would highly recommend also adding Chengdu.
Yep, Chengdu.
To your itinerary, because there's a lot of monasteries there. And I've never had more incredibly filling, tasty, fucking dreamy vegan food. Right? Because it's non-cruelty. But I think, like, the approach of not causing harm to animals as the basis of your veganism rather than like replacement, which I feel like is generally the theme in more Western societies for veganism. It's like, be vegan, but here's the fake meat.
Yep.
And in China, my experience in Chengdu was all these incredibly beautiful floral, tannic, vegetal. Like it was stunning. It's a great city. And also there's the panda rescue the reserve there. And they're so little and they're so cute.
I know. My dream is to like I just want to hold a red panda. Like that's all I want to do. But yeah. I would say
okay. We are heading into our lightning round of questions.
We haven't paid for sound effects, so
Kessie's host and sound effect maker.
So a quick breakdown of what rapid fire questions are. They are rapid and they are on fire.
You do not get to give context. We will cut you off. One word, first reaction, no wrong answers. Oh, unless we tell you it's a wrong answer.
My brain is a scary place. Okay, let's go.
Let's go. You want to talk about a scary place.
Five, six, seven, eight.
Favorite thing to eat right now?
Sourdough bread.
Favorite kitchen utensil?
A rubber spatula.
What ingredient is overrated?
Vanilla extract. I don't know.
What are you currently reading?
My friend Sam Lowe's new cookbook, Modern Chinese.
What song is on repeat on your playlist right now?
Another Love by Tom Odell.
How do you feel about hopscotch?
Love it.
Last question. Hot take, chef coat or apron?
Apron.
Slash, do you actually wear them?
Aprons?
Yeah, like or at home. Coat. Like really. Yeah. Like level.
Yes. It depends. If I'm cooking for myself, no. If I'm cooking for someone else, yes. Yeah. But I prefer apron over chef coat.
Yes.
That seems to be the general consensus.
All right, Dara. Thank you so much for being with us here on Kitchen Tape.
Wait. Can I ask you guys a question? As a rabbit?
Sure.
Oh, she wants to.
Yeah.
No, I have a good one around Kitchen Tape.
Okay.
Do you cut or do you rip?
Rip.
Rip.
Let it rip.
Rip.
Interesting.
Rip cleanly.
Okay.
Like with your nail.
Yeah, I'm a cut. I like to cut my tape with scissors or an X-Acto knife.
Do you know what drives me nuts? But I think
that also comes from like working in kitchens that were like Michelin.
Oh, I've definitely worked in those kitchens where like that was necessary. Yeah. But I feel like it's almost one of those things that is more a power move than it is absolutely necessary, and I feel conflicted about it. Like, if I come in and you've got a rip and then this long tail, we have to talk.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But if you've ripped it really nice and cleanly, like, that's okay. You don't always have your scissors, and honestly, I would rather you use those couple seconds to do real work than run around for your scissors for my own ego.
I used to keep an X-Acto knife in my coat.
There's that too. And honestly, like, the only one that really drove me nuts is when you see the kitchens that have the tape dispensers, but you're not actually allowed to use them. Mm-hmm. The tape dispenser. You still have to cut it. And I'm like, this is just you trying to see what rules you can impose upon me. So, but controversial. Great question, Dara.
Anything in 2024 coming up for Dara?
Hype yourself. We want to hear what you're excited about.
It's really interesting. I'm very much in this, like, big transitional, like, new chapter of my life and my food life. I have, like, recently really realized my passion and love for education and specifically for younger ages, like children.
Yes.
And I think that, like, my experience from 12 to now 22 is very valuable to, like, kids who are wanting to, like, get into food. So I'm exploring kind of projects within that. And I also have realized, like, I've been fighting this, like, media side, but I realize, like, I do love it. And I think that's coming from the, like, acting and the, just like, whatever. And so I'm exploring projects within media, so within TV and publishing and all of that, but then on the more, like, kind of hand in hand with that, also exploring more, like, event production. That's always, like, what I really wanted to go into, was, like, why I wanted to, like, eventually be doing, like, doing conferences and, like, event planning. So I'm exploring that as well and doing some different food themed fun events, maybe like a food themed film festival.
Wow. So okay,
maybe.
Well,
yeah, maybe.
We will stay tuned to all your adventures. We can follow you at Food For You.
I actually changed my username.
Oh my God. Where can we find your adventures?
So my Instagram and, well, I guess all social media platforms are now Chef Dara You. DaraYu. And yeah, you will still be seeing Food For You, but at least for socials right now, it is Chef Dara You.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us on Kitchen Tape. Thank
you for having me.
And as we always say,
eat cute,
be cute.
Love it.
Thank you for joining us this week on Kitchen Tape. Our theme music is created by Dan Crabtree. You can subscribe on Spotify and Apple to be notified when we release new episodes every other Tuesday. If you enjoyed this week's episode, we'd love it if you left us a review. If you'd like to be a guest on a future episode, contact us on social media. You can reach Rose at TRoseWild and Cassie at IBakeMistakes or email us at KitchenTapePod@gmail.com. Catch you next time on Kitchen Tape Podcast.